Nearly four decades ago, the Atlanta child murders shook the city. Between the years 1979 and 1981, 28 people were killed following the same basic pattern. Most of them were children. The investigation into those murders eventually focused on one man, Wayne Williams. He was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to two life sentences. A new podcast, Atlanta Monster, revisits that case. The podcast launched last month, and it's co-produced by Atlanta-based production companies How Stuff Works and Tenderfoot TV. With me to talk about it is Payne Lindsay, the host of Atlanta Monster, and also Jason Hoke, executive producer for Atlanta Monster. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start the morning by talking about murder. You know, Payne, there's been a lot, both fictional and non-fictional, on the Atlanta child murders. What was missing from the narrative of these events?
I think the missing part is closure. Every family member I've talked to, they feel like this thing is still wide open. They were presented, you know, convoluted information that doesn't make any sense. They feel like Wayne Williams, the person behind bars, some of them feel like he didn't do it. And I think a lot of that comes from not closing this out properly. It's been so much gray area in this case, and so
partly
much confusion.
Because he was convicted for the murder of two adults. He wasn't convicted for the
murder
of any
of the children. That's a big part of it, yes. I mean, we're talking about the Atlanta child murderers, but Wayne Williams was convicted of two adults. No one was convicted of killing the kids.
So, Jason, was the purpose of the podcast then to hear about the alternative theories? Was that sort of the motive behind making the new podcast, was to hear the ideas behind Wayne Williams not being the culprit?
No, I think it was telling the whole story. And I think what we've found is there's a lot that has not been covered, and a lot that, let's just say, the people that knew the story growing up, they thought they knew the story, and they don't really know the story. And then there's a whole generation who didn't even know this big story about a serial killer in Atlanta, didn't even know it existed. And so we really wanted to expose all those voices in the show.
So let's hear a clip from the podcast. This is from the very first episode, which is called Boogeyman. Payne, you're introducing a guest named Kalinda, who describes what it felt like to be in Atlanta at the time.
I was a child in Atlanta during that time. I was a 9-year-old living in Atlanta in the Fourth Ward, which was one of the areas from which children were taken. And I remember as a child the whispers and chatter among children. If you can imagine, this real-life boogeyman is actually out there.
But one of the things your podcast points out is that there's a real difference in how aware people were of this based on their race. Is that fair?
I'd say race and now generation. I was born in 87. I had actually never heard of this story.
In Kennesaw.
Yeah. So I'm from Georgia. I'm from, you know, in the metro Atlanta area. And I'd never heard of this story. And I think a lot of people from my generation have never heard of it. My dad went to Georgia Tech here, and he definitely remembers this. But I think what she's saying is that based on where you're from, you remember things differently. If you were part of the black community in Atlanta and you were one of the victims, or if you were the target, then you remember this way differently than someone else who was in the suburbs and was white.
And there's also, Jason, a real difference in the attitude of the black community towards the police and authorities. And in some ways, some people were already like preconditioned to not trust the police story.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of parallels to present day, too. I mean, part of this is looking back 30, 40 years and seeing what times were like back then in terms of attitudes around race and class and community. And we also have to look at ourselves and say how much of that has really changed over the years, many, many years later.
So let's hear another clip from the series. This is from the third episode, which is called Atlanta Monster Seized. And we hear the voice of the FBI agent, and he's talking about when they first approached Wayne Williams because they put a stakeout on a bridge.
I went up to him and identified myself as a special agent of the FBI, and I asked him immediately if he knew why he was being pulled over. And he said, yes, it's probably because about those kids that are missing, which kind of surprised me. That was an unusual answer, I thought. And the next words out of his mouth was, he says, you know, he said, Channel 5 is really covering this very well, but Channel 11, I don't think, covers it enough.
So since then, Payne, we do have evidence that Wayne Williams, there was a psychological profile that the FBI created at the time, and Wayne Williams turns out to fit it exactly. And we got DNA evidence also that excludes, I think, 98% of the population, but does not exclude Wayne Williams. How convinced were the law enforcement that they had gotten the right guy?
Oh, they were convinced. I mean, this is back when FBI profiling, this sort of criminal profile they make of someone, was just beginning. And they had very talented people, one of them being John Douglas. He made this very extensive, the best, right? He made this extensive profile, and they were all convinced that Wayne Williams fit it to a T. And
still,
if you look at it,
yeah.
Still convinced, yes, they definitely have zero doubt in their minds. When I've talked to them, they believe Wayne Williams is the guy.
So, Jason, what keeps the doubt alive, do you think? As you've gone and talked to more of these people, and I gotta say, I'm a little skeptical of many of these conspiracy theories, because the one thing we keep hearing over and over is, oh, no, it couldn't have been Wayne. I would have never imagined him killing kids. But what person is going to say, you know, as soon as I met him, I knew that guy was a child murderer, right? Nobody ever says that about someone they know, right? So what did you hear from some of these people who are doubtful?
I mean, I think we heard everything. And the whole point of this is to put it all out on the line and hear every bit of the story. So really framed by Payne, this is, let's finally put this to bed. But we have to get it all out there. And we have to listen to all voices. And some of it's going to be a little bit crazy. And some of it's going to be down the middle. But that's the whole point, is let's put it out there. And I think everyone who listens to this has to think about what kind of judgment are they making on this case based on being presented all those facts, whether they seem credible or not?
We're talking about a new podcast called Atlanta Monster, which is about the Atlanta child murders. And you just heard the voice of Jason Hoke, executive producer, and Payne Lindsay was me as well, the host. Let's actually hear this kind of a chilling part of the podcast. This is Wayne Williams' voice, and you got to talk with him over the phone from prison.
My thing is, put the facts out and it speak for itself. We don't need to doctor it up. Just put it out there. And when we explain like things like the bridge, so-called bridge incident, what did and did not happen, like Dwayne and I have talked to, it'll make sense now. And the truth in this case is really simple. It's not complex or anything, but it's just that it's a truth that people may not want to hear.
So we're only 5 episodes in at this point?
5 in, episode 6 came out this morning.
Okay, so I haven't listened to that one yet. And there's going to be how many?
10 total.
So we don't know where you guys are going yet.
We don't know. We don't know either.
Oh, you don't know
either?
No,
I'm just kidding. We know.
It's like that, you're living on the edge.
We do know, but you can change that if you have information. This is a sort of a real-time thing. So that's half serious.
Okay, so if you're out there listening and you have information that has not been heard, you know who to call, Payne Lindsay or Jason Hoke.
That's right.
But, I mean, at this point, we hear a lot from people who don't believe that Wayne Williams was the murderer. But some of it is a little crazy, right? I mean,
of course.
It's a little bit nutballs. How do you go about, showing the kind of respect for people's views and sort of sifting through some of the stuff that is a little bit over the edge?
You just got to kind of tiptoe your way through it. You know, to me, it's conspiracy theories. I've never really been the type of person that's a conspiracy theorist. I'm kind of the opposite.
Yeah, one guy also doesn't believe Oswald shot Kennedy.
Right. Right. And so there's people who, you know, feel strongly about all kind of things in this case. And to me, it's more of a reflection of how people have been affected by this. Some people take this as far as it's a big government conspiracy. Some people think that Wayne killed a couple people but didn't kill everybody. Some people think Wayne killed all of them. Someone think he killed none. And the bottom line is that the reason why I'm even entertaining these thoughts at all is because every family member that I've talked to has told me that they don't think Wayne Williams did it. And that, to me, was a good enough reason. I didn't tell them to think that. I don't care what anyone thinks. I just want to know what happened. And why is that? So I think that it's because they never felt the closure. And so let's explore all the possibilities here. And who knows where we're going to end up. I mean,
well, hopefully you guys do at this point.
That's right. And we have a plan. And we have, you know, a lot of information that we've, you know, sifted through that we're excited to share to hopefully bring some of that closure for people.
So, Jason, Do you get this? I mean, the sense that I got listening to the five episodes so far was that it's possible the justice system simply didn't handle this the way that they needed to give families closure. Did you get that feeling as well?
Yeah, I think it was two things. One, it was they were crushed by their own weight of the enormity of this and not knowing what to do in the late 70s, early 80s. And then it was also the desire to put it to bed. So how do we remove this stain, if you will, from Atlanta's history and move on from a business perspective, from a community perspective, and on and on. And so as quickly as they could find this and close it, it was really, really important for the heart and soul of the city. And that really drove this.
Right, except it may have been rushed. We only have about 30 seconds left, Payne, and I don't want to spoil the end of the podcast.
Sure.
But by episode 10, are we going to know whether you believe when Williams killed all the children or not?
To me, it's not about my personal opinion at all.
I think
I mean, you may be able to infer what we believe, but I think it's not about did he do it or not. And that's kind of a question I table in episode 6 that comes out today. It's not about did he do it. It's about what did he do? And what do we know? What do we not know? Let's just figure it all out. That's what we're going to do. And I think by episode 10, you'll have a solid opinion on that.
Payne Lindsay is the host of the new podcast, Atlanta Monster. You also heard Jason Hoke, executive producer for the podcast series. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.